Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We're going to talk about drug court, and we're going to go in depth on Inside Douglas County with Judge Kathleen Johnson and Judge Robert Johnson. I'm not sure I've had any sitting judges on interviews before, nor am I convinced that either time they've had the same last name. What is the chances of that? It's kind of an unusual situation, but anyway. Kathleen, talk about the drug court program and just sort of what you've seen in it over the years.
Well, I've been involved. I was involved when I was in the district attorney's office and also a little bit after being on the bench. The program itself started in 1996, and it was a program that the idea being that you really can't punish away drug addiction. It's got to have some treatment component. And so the courts are interacting with the people who are suffering from this treatment and are suffering from this addiction. And so we try to get them into a treatment program that offers some benefit to going through the program. Originally, the program was set up so that you would get you came in on a possession charge, and if you successfully completed the program, then you would get that possession charge dismissed. That is changed over the years because the program has come to recognize that it really is more suited to high-risk, high-needs people with more serious crimes than people who are just sort of starting out in the program, and that it's very bad for the participants to mix the two. And so I've seen kind of a progression of the program since I started dealing with it in about 2010 through now.
Now, it's been going on for a long time. Was it an original Douglas County thought, or is it a model from somewhere else?
Yeah, this is a more of a national model that started somewhere back east. I think it was Florida, maybe New York, somewhere with a huge population hub that was experiencing disproportionate drug problems. And so that model took off, and it was adopted here, as Judge Johnson said, in 1996. I think we were second or third county in the state to adopt the drug court model, but it's based on a national model.
So what types of convictions make somebody eligible?
Yeah, it's actually probably easier to identify the exclusions. Eligibility is, so in terms of convictions, pretty much anything that's not a Measure 11 or a sex offense or violent felonies, although there are some violent felonies that are staffed and with the focus on trying to determine whether or not this person could benefit from the program. But as Judge Johnson said just a moment ago, we're focused on targeting high-risk, high-need offenders, and that's a criminogenic risk of to reoffend. So looking at different components of things like criminal history, first-time use, what age they were when they first used, housing, employment, education, all types of things go into determining who's eligible.
So once somebody is in this program, and either of you can address this, talk about sort of the elements of being in the program. What do you have to do? How long are you in? What does it take to graduate?
Yeah, it is not an easy program. Let's start with that. But the way I think you would, how I would characterize it to someone who doesn't know is there are phases to drug court. Phase one is there's two different types. There's a outpatient versus an inpatient part of phase one. The inpatient phase is the residential substance abuse treatment, and that's done in the jail. It's a 180-day program where the participants are eligible for early release after 120 days. They go through daily classes Monday through Friday. They're in a special housing unit within the jail, and it's the most intensive treatment that we have for our drug court program. Some people come straight into drug court. So in other words, they do the outpatient phase one. And that's characterized by trying to stabilize the participant. Just similar to drug court, it's just maybe not as intensive or as regimented. However, participants are still expected to go to group 9 hours a week. They have homework every week. They go to support group 2 times a week. They go to court at least once a week, and they have their individual sessions for 1 hour a week every week. Then there's phase two, and I guess the easy way to say this is the treatment in the phases has a similar nature. They may be based on different things, but they're tapering off as you the further you go into the program, with the goal of having the participants be self-sufficient. So I could go into the future phases, but eventually you get to a graduation phase where the hope is now we're the bulk of treatment is completed and we're focused on aftercare. So making sure that folks are ready to transition from drug court into their normal lives. And the hope is that they're employed or that they're enrolled in school or something that will pick up where drug court has left off.
Now, do they stay in jail through the process till they graduate, or?
No. So the only time a participant of drug court is in jail, absent a sanction, is during that first phase that I told you, RSAT. That's the inpatient phase. So the jail, we partner with the county to hold open a certain amount of beds for inpatient treatment. And when they're sentenced into drug court or RSAT, particularly RSAT program, they're in for 180 days, eligible for release after 120 days. If you don't go through RSAT, you're strictly on probation, and it's just, again, a tapered phasing to hopefully the goal in mind is to get them on their feet and becoming productive members of society.
Now, with the level of intensity, I presume not everybody makes it through the process all the way.
You are correct. That's unfortunate. Sometimes, so since I've become the drug court judge, what we are encouraging folks to do, the team, is the first thing they have to do, well, the number one rule with Judge Johnson is honesty. So be forthcoming with where your shortcomings are and remind the participants that we are there as a team to prop you up and try to help you overcome some of the things you have going on. But what I remind them personally is that they're going to make mistakes because they are human beings, and they have to have grace when they make those mistakes. And I think that what that does is encourages them to be able to accept the accountability part of this, right? So if there has to be a sanction where they have to do work crew, or they have to go to jail, or if they have to modify their treatment in some more intense way, reminding themselves to have grace allows them to accept the accountability measure of it. Of the program.
So at that point, you're hoping that they do that and don't sort of give up hope and just not continue.
Right. So it's an amazing program, but one of the things that I have to constantly remind myself of is that these are folks who, generally speaking, as I said earlier, Kyle, high risk, high need. And so they don't always have the most pleasant experience with the judicial system. And, you know, I think that they come in with an immense amount of pressure. And so one of the things that the listening audience might not know is that, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, the participants are sentenced in the drug court with what they call a downward departure. So they're presumably looking at prison time. But And in order to redirect them from prison, they have this opportunity now to engage in drug court as a condition of their probation. So instead of going to prison, they are sentenced to probation with a special condition to enter in and complete drug court. So there's an immense amount of pressure, which is why we try to encourage, listen, we're going to make mistakes, have grace, and we'll get through this together. So we're trying to encourage folks to confront the problems they have. That's not always easy. It's easier said than done. And so sometimes that pressure builds up and people revert to the life they know.
All right, we're going to take a break and talk more about drug court in a moment on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. We're talking about Douglas County Drug Court. And by the way, graduation for the current group is tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Presiding Judge Kathleen Johnson from Douglas County Circuit Court and Drug Court Judge Robert Johnson in here now. 604 people have graduated. Talk about some of the success that either of you have seen coming out of that.
I can tell you, I see people in the community that when I was in the district attorney's office, I prosecuted and was the drug court attorney for them, and I see them doing really well. I mean, everyone's not a success story, but I know of a couple that I see that actually met while they were in the program and ended up getting together and have children together, and I see them in the community doing well. It's pretty amazing. I think the reason it works is because. You're not just addressing one thing. They're kind of it's a wraparound sort of a program where we're talking about the trauma that led to their drug abuse in the first place. They're dealing with the fact that the reality is that many of our participants received their drugs for the first time at a very young age from their own parents. And so they've learned a way of life that they now have to unlearn. They've learned a way of life. They've coped with things in their life by avoidance, by dishonesty. And that has to be something that we work on with them from day one, that we teach them that even when you mess up, you show up and you're honest about your mistakes and you take accountability. And that's hard for people who haven't done that for a very long time. It's hard to accept that it's a safe place to say that. And although there may be a sanction, it may not be as bad as the sanction you're going to get from being dishonest about your relapse or your mistake that you made. And so I think it's a pretty amazing program in the sense that it doesn't just say stop using drugs, because that alone is never going to work. It addresses all of the other things. They have some resources to help with homelessness. They have some resources to help with, you know, they receive counseling around their own trauma that they've had. And when I started working with the program, I was, I guess, not surprised to learn that many had childhood trauma, but surprised to learn how many and what large proportion of the participants had pretty significant childhood trauma that they had to work through, and that was quite often the catalyst for them starting to use drugs and alcohol in the first place.
And even people that didn't realize there was another way.
Yes.
I mean, that this was just normal, if you will.
Yes, if your parents have taught you that the way to deal with it is drug use or avoidance or dishonesty, you haven't learned another way. And we assume that everybody knows that, but not everybody does. Not everybody has ever been taught that or lived a life in which that's an option. And so it's a whole new world for some people. For some people, it's just getting back to where they were and what they knew. And for some people, it's learning something and abandoning every friend that they had. So it's a big transition in people's life to be successful. It's a lot of work.
Now, you're new to the bench. How did you end up as a drug court judge?
Well, shortly after the election, I got an email from Judge Johnson here, who I think knew a little bit about my past and invited me to take over drug court. And so I grew up in a situation where I had heroin addicted parents, and I identify with a lot of the trauma and struggles that some of the participants that we have in drug court have. And so it's been a blessing to bring an element of understanding to the program, and I'm thankful that Judge Johnson reached out for with me in mind on that.
Having gone through some of the things you did earlier in life, did you at that point ever think you would be in this type of position?
Absolutely not. I did not know where I was going to end up in life. I certainly never thought that being a judge was possible, never thought that being an attorney was possible. And these are some of the things I share with the participants. That, hey, listen, 20 years ago, I was not far from where they are right now. And so that's allowed me to connect with them on a level that I think has been reciprocated from them, where they settle down and they're ready to hit the ground running, I think.
And maybe more likely to listen to what you have to say when you share your story.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, a connection. And it's, I don't necessarily want to say that they're trusting, because, again, they have a lot of trauma responses just to going through the system. But it definitely breaks down some of those walls and allows us to connect.
Got a couple minutes left. How is this program funded? Is there certain funding that applies to drug court?
The agencies that make up the drug court team all cover their own staffing. So the judge, myself, and our treatment court coordinator were paid by the Oregon Judicial Department. ADAPT is the main treatment source of the program, and they're paid through insurance but cover their own staffing costs. Parole and probation pay their staffing costs, and the district attorney and public defender ascend attorneys but in addition to that, we get grant funding through the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission that pays for a myriad of things, trainings, barrier reduction for participants, all types of things. That.
So you've got graduation at 5 o'clock tomorrow in courtroom 303. What will happen during that?
We're going to celebrate some inspirational stories. There are 7 graduates who have put in the time, the blood, the sweat, and the tears. Maybe not the blood, I hope, but the sweat and the tears for sure. I've seen them. And they're going to be recognized, and we're going to continue to try to reduce recidivism in Douglas County.
And are some of them surprised they made it through?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the fun parts of this is we also partner with Abby's Legendary Pizza, and we have the week before graduation, we have a pizza party for the graduating participants. And you look back at the journey that some of them came into the program, and I think the vast majority of them did not expect to be graduating like they will be tomorrow night.
All right, so again, that's at 5 o'clock, courtroom 303. Out of time for today. It went fast. Drug court, 101st graduation, Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. Presiding Judge Kathleen Johnson and Drug Court Judge Robert Johnson, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.